88RUH.
KF8FQT, good morning.
Good morning. How are the roads on your side of town?
Deplorable, but passable. They didn't plow at all. It doesn't look like my Taylor right now. I almost telegraphed.
So the surface streets were not plowed at all. Well, I take that back. They were plowed, but they were snow covered. They clearly have only plowed, no salt. I think it's too cold for that, which makes sense. But I'm on the expressway, and it appears as though at the moment it's just wet. So that's a pretty good thing. Hopefully the rest of my ride will continue like this.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think this is a lane. Yeah, I guess no cover. They might have plowed a little bit, but they didn't do much. Hopefully they'll get her cleaned up today.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be very cold, though, for the whole week, so if they're not salting because of the temperature, it could be the weekend or so before they throw salt down.
I normally take Southfield Freeway up to work, but it looks like there was some accidents on there and had the road closed there in one direction, so I'm just sticking to the surface streets. I'm not in any big hurry.
Yeah, it looks like my ride is exponentially longer than it normally is, so I'm sure there are just accidents and traffic everywhere.
So in ham radio news, I bought that systems programmer over the weekend, and I loaded up a couple of link networks, so I should have good coverage to the entire state of Michigan. I did see that this receiver is also on a link system, which was good to know. I didn't know it was. Played with that and got the radio programmed up a little bit. Seems to be working good. I'm happy with that RT system, so that was easy to program.
Yeah, their stuff is definitely user-friendly. It's worth the, I don't know what it is now, $30, $35, that's for sure.
I paid $25 for it. I'm disappointed a little bit. I think I paid a few bucks for the Radiodity software, but it doesn't do the autofill. You know, when you put in the frequency, it doesn't do the plus or minus and receive frequency and all that stuff, and just made it a lot of work, and I didn't find it very, very friendly. So Matt had tried to use Chirp, but I think he did it with the Radiodity online when he first programmed it. But I don't know, I'm okay with it. I don't mind spending the $25, I guess.
Yeah, it's money well spent, because you'll probably find over time you will reprogram your radio over and over again as you learn about more repeaters or travel in different areas.
We got a new young user on here. I heard him over the weekend. I don't remember his call sign. His name is Wyatt. He's 11 years old, and he's starting to sound like an old pro there for a second. Kind of neat to see young people getting involved. Even if I'm a new ham, it's still kind of neat.
Well, that's pretty impressive. I did not hear him. I was not out and about very much this weekend, so did not have the radio on much.
Well, he must be a smart cookie if he could pass that test. He said he got his tech license in the last week, so that was pretty impressive, I thought.
Yeah, you know, those kids, they're lucky to do it early because although the information is possibly difficult, their brains are in that study mode and reading and learning where some of us old guys, we're not out here learning something new and reading books every day to take tests.
We're not?
Well, Sean, I mean, you are, but the rest of us aren't. No, I'm kidding. Good morning.
I've got a book from the ARRL, kind of a study guide, user manual type thing. I was flipping through it last night because I'm taking my general test on Saturday. And I was just flipping through to see what was in the book there and, you know, figure out what I can do on HF and stuff like that. So sometimes when I read, all the words just become words on a page, and I get gets a little jumbled for me, so of course that might be my own fault. That might be self-induced.
All you, Sean, pick it up. Well, maybe he's already getting coffee. Well, it appears as though I hit my first snag here. I am in bumper to bumper on 696 westbound, which is a real treat. Going about 4 miles an hour. Hopefully this clears up soon.
Well, I'm going to step aside for a minute and listen to see what goes on and eat my breakfast sandwich while I'm motoring in. So, KF8 FTT monitoring.
All right, well, we'll be out here. I got about 20 more minutes in the car at least, so we'll talk to you soon. KE8RUH. Sean, if you're out there. KE8RUH. W8FU, you out there?
Let's try this one. Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Where were you? On the other side?
Well, I was over on Warren, but currently we're not connected this morning.
Ah, I didn't know that it was connected back up.
Yeah, I don't know. I was briefly to Dakota, and you went out for gas. I immediately called you, and because I thought you guys were talking before I jumped in. You didn't respond, and I made a couple more transmissions. Nobody responded, and then I thought, I wonder. So I bounced over here to LTS, and there you are.
Yep. Yeah, did you guys get the brackets that you were looking for that would reconnect Warren?
Yeah, I did, but that's not it. We got to wait for the weather to break. We need a mount. The one that they took our mount out, and I don't think it's repairable without damaging the roof. So we're going to ask them to put another mount on the building at a very specific point on the building to facilitate alignment. And then we'll get that back online. Right now, we just have a Cradle Point 5G modem in there.
Okay, cool. Well, I will have to, obviously it's not connected right now, I'll have to get back over there maybe tomorrow morning or this afternoon and start checking it out, because it is easier to get into Warren, that's for sure.
Well, apparently they're over there right now, so I'm sure you can work it. Want to head back over there?
Yep, I'll go back over there.
All right, that explains probably, I don't know, weird. Maybe it was connected and it dropped or something.
KF8FQW, monitoring. KF8FQW, CW.
KF8FTT, go ahead. I didn't catch your call.
That's KF8FQW. I'm up here in about an hour north of Lapeer. My name is Curtis.
Good morning. You got a little snow up there too. My name is Chad.
Yeah, good morning, Chad. Yeah, we, I guess we got about 5 inches of, being it's so cold, it's on the fluffy side there. I just got in from pushing a little bit of snow, but I don't have to go to work today, so that's pretty good. I'm just messing around with this radio here, trying to figure some stuff out.
Yeah, I'm down by Dearborn, headed to Livonia, because I do have to work today. Not real thrilled about it, but here we are. I was just thinking about some radio stuff, and you just kind of answered one of my questions. So, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I copy that. I just got my license about a week ago, and I've been messing around with these radios for a while, but I travel around a lot with my job, and I never really had a chance to study enough to get the license. And, well, I had a surgery December 1st, so I took that layup time to hit the book for a while and got it done.
Yeah, congratulations on that. I'm a new hand myself. I got my license back, I got the end of November, I guess it was, so I'm new to the crowd here, but this repeater seems to have a good bunch of guys on it. I got it linked to the Central Michigan Network, which is probably how we are talking to each other now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool the way they network them things together, you know. I'm trying to, well, there's so much to learn, like, you know, and it's a lot bigger than I thought it was originally, and you start looking at all the different equipment and things like that, it's, well, it makes it all that more interesting, I suppose, too.
Yeah, I was just saying to the other feller before he switched frequencies, I got all of the IRA and the CMN networks on my radio, so I got most of Michigan covered, but I was sitting here thinking, wondering, you know, if somebody in Cadillac or Ludington or whatever was talking, if I could hear them through the whole link system, and then I wondered, how come I never hear them talking? So, maybe they just don't use it very much up there.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. You know, I've been noticing, from what I've heard, it seems like the heavier populated areas, but it seems like the majority of the transmissions are probably south of Saginaw.
I think somebody's trying to break in, but I got nothing but static on my end. But yeah, I kind of thought there'd be more users on it, and obviously during net meetings or something, that's different, but I'm only on here in the morning, and then about 5 o'clock on the way home from work, generally, so, I don't know, I just thought there'd be more people around, even, you know, from Battle Creek and Jackson, Kalamazoo, stuff like that, but just a quiet thing, I guess.
Yeah, I got a technical question you might be able to answer. I was, some information that I was reading was talking about, well, when you're running off of batteries, you shouldn't charge at the same time, you know, and that, well, that makes a lot of sense. But then you think about how the radios are hooked up in vehicles, you know, and it's, they're always charging. I'm not sure how that works. But I'm sitting in the house right now with a little 22 amp hour battery that seems to be performing pretty well, and I got the antenna up by a window. I don't even have it out in the roof yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to be much help with that question, but I do agree with you. Your car battery is charging all the time as you use an office, so I wouldn't think it would be an issue with a battery backup to have it put on a charger at the same time, but I'm not 100% sure, other than it might make some interference noise, but I suppose if you had tight connections everywhere, it shouldn't either.
It's pretty impressive, some of these, I guess they're the lithium iron phosphate batteries are, boy, they got them figured out pretty good.
I work on EV cars, and the battery technology has come a long way.
Yeah, it's something else, you know, and I use flashlights a lot, doing inspection work, and kind of like along the same lines, you know, with bulbs and all these diodes and stuff, and the performance you get and the durability is, well, you know, like you say, it's you get a lot more out of your money now. It's it works really well.
I think Thomas Edison would be impressed.
Yeah, that's something else, you know, if them guys thought, you know, like, the things that, in the time frame is really something, too, you know, just a couple generations, pretty amazing.
AC, 8 AC.
Okay, it's 8 FPT, well, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, just a quick one. Why you shouldn't charge or use your equipment while charging? Well, generally, chargers are outputting in the neighborhood of, you know, 15 to 16 volts during a charging cycle. Many aren't regulated. They're just trying to pound the voltage into the battery. That's a little much for most radio equipment. That'd be the short answer to that. I'm here at work. Good morning, gentlemen. 73 all. Good to hear you. AC, 8 AC.
KF, 8 FQW. Yeah, good information. So I guess it's kind of like the tech specs and the ratings of the charger you use. And I got one of them little NOCOs, 5 amp. I'm not sure on the voltage, though, but, yeah, appreciate the info. I'll have to look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, he's a smart feller. That's the guy that got me started in this. So he's been kind of Elmering me through the stuff. He's probably tired of hearing my constant questions, but he's been good and helpful. So, yeah, he's a smart dude. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Chad, you get guys like that, you know, like you know, they can really shortcut you quite a bit and fantastic help. But
he was pretty proud when I got my tech license there, so I signed up with their radio club to take my general on Saturday, so I'm moving on to the other side of the state, and I wanted to get that general before I left, so I thought I'd honor him by taking it with them, so. All right, I've made it.
Oh, yeah, well, heck, good luck on the test. You'll probably get it.
So, it was good to make the contact with you. Be safe, stay warm, KF8 FPT 73.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good day. KF8 FQW, clear.
Thank you.
WPR.
KCAKJL, good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Being warm?
I am trying my hardest. If I crank up the heat too much, though, then I get killed. So, it's comfortable in my service vehicle.
Very good, very good. You got a DMR radio. Which one do you have? Do you have the Motorola or the NHL?
I got the Motorola, the XTR4550.
I just got the Anytone 890. I discovered something. I was trying to run it through my hotspot, or trying to connect up to the systems, and it just wouldn't do anything. So what's going on here? I started to dig into it, found out they now have a separate thing for transmit color code and receive color code. It used to be the same. You know, it said one. Now they're separate, so they were all zeros. So I had to export the file, change it to copy all the receive stuff to the transmit side, load it back in, and now it works.
So the Anytone has a receive color code and a transmit color code now? Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, really. I never heard. Are there any systems out there that would have separate? I've never heard of one.
FADFD.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, KFADFD. Name the chain. I'm kind of new to this, but I did hear some talking over the past day. I know that color code is one for that, but they said if you transmit with color code 3, and my radio doesn't let me do that, but it says that if you transmit with color code 3 and you're bumping heads with someone, one person will get through or something like that. Not sure, but that might be a reason for other color codes.
Okay, you were quite noisy, and just got something about color code 3, and maybe the separate one. I couldn't quite make out everything.
I'll try once more on West Bloomfield. I'm kind of in the middle here. I was just talking over the state one that, they say to transmit on color code 1, but if you use color code 3, it will also get through and just prevent maybe.
Okay, got most of that at that time. All right, so some reason they do take a different color code. I didn't quite understand the reason why, but go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, mine is just on the TYT. And the Rekavis is just one color code. Wonder why they changed it on the Anytone. I said it just seems a little odd. I mean, I know that you can, I think what Shane says is you're transmitting on one and you can receive on 3, or transmit on 3 and receive on 1. I mean, but I could be wrong on that. Good morning, Shane. KCAKJL.
But MI5, you need to be on color code 1. There is no color code 3. Give me an SWR.
Good morning, and I'll clear out of here because, yeah, I think I'm in a bad area. KFA, CFE, I'll be clear.
Actually, that was the best transmission yet. 100% clear.
And Jeff jumped in there. He heard you. So color code 1 is for 51.
All the MI5 stuff is color code 1.
You know, any tone with the new radio has got separate transmit color code and receive color code. I mean, I know a lot of radios will do separate PLs and stuff for analog, but I guess it's the same kind of concept. But I've never heard of a DMR system that uses a split. Unless maybe they do something like if you use a different color code, maybe it doesn't go out over the network or something. I've heard things like that.
But all MI5 chalk groups are color code 1. KBSWR. Color code 1 across the board. In, out, round, top, the bottom. Color code 1. KBSWR.
Okay, Jeff, thanks for that. So, where are you off to today, Tom?
I'm about 1.3 miles away from my first destination, which is a bank here in Dearborn. And then looks like I got something in Ann Arbor now, in Plymouth. And I'm just more or less staying in the Detroit metro area.
Okay, well, I hope the roads are better where you are. They are like a skating rink here in West Bloomfield. They're just very, very slick. I just passed the police car with a car off the side of the road, quite a ways off the side of the road. I don't know how we even ended up like that.
Well, if you stay in the center two lanes, you're just fine. Just go on the outer lanes and forget it. It's all slushy and slippery.
Well, it doesn't matter what lane you're in, you know, out here. Okay. Building a new restaurant out here. Been building it for like 2 years, it seems like. Waiting for it to open. Part of a chain. Looks like it's getting close, though. Need a new place to eat around here.
Is it fancy schmancy or is it like a Chick-fil-A?
No, it's in between. There's a series of restaurants that are called taverns with numbers. Like there's 4th Tavern, 3rd, 5th Tavern. It's the same owners. I think this is supposed to be the 6th Tavern. I have no idea where 1, 2, and 3 are.
Oh, interesting. Let's check it out next time I'm out in that area.
Yeah, it's good casual dining. The food's, I like going to the one that's called the 4th Tavern. That's out on Crescent Lake, Elizabeth Lake Road and Cooley Lake Road. And I've always never had a bad meal there. Service is good. Prices are reasonable. Well, what else could you ask for?
Exactly. The better the food, the happier I am. All right, I have arrived, so I will catch you in a bit. I'll be out and about as usual. 73 in your final. KCHKJO.
All righty. Catch you later. KHPR. KPR from NHTV. Hey, John. How's it going? Well, you got your call sign change, huh? You just noticed that? Yeah. It's been, how long's it been now? Been about 4 months. I don't listen here much, so
a wooden ear.
Well, even when I called you and talked to you on the other, I was using it. So, I guess that's one of those things you didn't even notice it until you noticed it.
Yep, exactly. You know, you don't even hear the beginning. You just recognize the last three, and those didn't change. So there you go. So I was just looking at the calendar and plugging in a few things, and it's like, oh shoot, Livonia's on Saturday, not on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Maybe that's the only time they can get the building. Who knows? It's quite unusual.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the way things go when you're using church facilities.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, I didn't know that was a church facility. That makes 100% sense. All right, well, it's not a problem.
Yeah, I just put in for a Saturday. I logged on the calendar. It's like, you know, set up for Livonia, because typically it is a setup, at least if it's not a setting up at the place, it's loading up the car. So, I was like, wait a minute. I know it's on the 21st. It's a Saturday. Shoot, I'm all messed up. So I went back and verified it. Yep, it is on Saturday. So. And then I'm all set right now. David got me tables for Toledo. So I got him the table for Livonia. So we just swapped out duties.
Yeah, sounds good. So, yeah, I got a few things to sell, so always something, but that's usually always a decent one, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, with the call, I always wanted a 1x2, and I just came available. I wanted my initials in it, so actually, it was Sean who found out about this. It was a guy who was been deceased for 3 years, and the call was still active. I had to contact the FCC, send him his obituary or death certificate, and have the call canceled. And then I had to wait, a month or whatever to file it. And turned out I was in competition for two other people, and I was actually contacted them, one of them, and asked if he explained the situation. He was looking for other calls too, and I was only looking for this one, and asked if they dropped their request. And one did, the other one never responded, so it was down to 50-50, and I ended up getting it.
Oh, good deal. I think about changing mine every now and then, and I look, and it's like, is there anything coming up? The one I missed out on is the one that I really wanted. I wanted Whiskey Delta 8 Romeo. That was John Lewandowski. He got the call. It was an original issue to him, and I guess he must have passed, but anyway, it was coming up available. And I was late putting in for it, and did not get it. But part of the reason why I really wanted his call was because his tech/general call was November 8 Hotel Tango Delta. So we used to drive the people over at Yusika nuts because we would check into the net. And at HTD, John... Okay, got you, and at HTV, John, well, you already checked in. We have already got you. It's like, no, this is the first time I've checked in. So we used to drive nuts because, both of us were John and, sounded so similar. So I really kind of wanted his, but that's the reason I wanted to do it, because I've known him for a long time, and, we used to have fun driving nut controls nuts. WI8X. I was related to WD8R.
Okay. I'm going to keep Superior on. I'm pulling in the garage here. So, yeah, we'll catch you later. Over to you, John. KPF. Okay, we'll see you, Phil. So you were related to John?
Yeah, you're one of my dad's cousins, so I really wasn't, I probably wasn't related at all. I was probably a fourth or fifth cousin, but yeah, I was semi, like I say, semi-related to him. And I am Polish, too, like John is. And the other thing is that call has been issued, because I was going after it as well. And I got a report from the SEC that the call's already been issued. I went, it can't be. And there's some girl in the middle of the state that's got it.
Yep. So, but I actually put in for it when it was available and lost out on it. So, whatever. So, maybe I'll find something else. Let's see. I'll see if I can get WP80.
That would be a good one. Yeah. Good call for CW. WDNR was a good call for CW. That's why I wanted it. And then I found NA.F, and I went, oh, yeah. And I was telling my buddy Russ down in Florida about it on D-Star. I figured, no one's going to hear us, right? Some guy 7 miles south of Lakeland in the Tampa area, he went and got put in for the call, and he got it. Because when I put in for it, they said, so it ain't been issued. I go, no, it hasn't. And I looked at it, and I went, doggone it.
Well, see, Chris, that's where I wish the FCC would change the rules and say that if you have a call sign that is issued to a different call area, you must identify as, you know, like he would have to identify as portable 4 every time he set that call or sent it on CW. Because it's not fair that, like, and I'll use Bill Rojas. He's a good example of what I would like to see done. Bill identifies WA1APX Portable 8 every single time he identifies. And so now you would take having those short 1x2s and 2x1s and add more speaking to it. So if you want to just identify with just the call sign, get your own 4-land call. That would free up the 8-land calls for people in the Midwest. So not my problem that there's a boatload of 4s compared to, 1s or, or 7s. You know, if you want to use that call without saying portable 4 or portable whatever, get a call sign from your area.
Yeah, that's a pretty good argument.
You know, so if you look at, so let's just say there's some DX out there, and he's got a pile up, and he says, okay, I'm going to start taking it by call areas. You know, I'm going to take only 1s. Well, Bill's in the 8th call district, so he's jumping ahead 7 numbers because he can take the 1. But if he had to say portable 8, they would say, hey, wait a minute, you're in 8 land. You got to wait for the 8 lands to be called. You know, and then if you persist on that, then they blackball you, you don't get to work that DX.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, but he's a portable 8, you know. He's moved here, or he's... Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah. That'd be a tough one.
But I give Bill all kinds of credit because he says portable 8 every single time. Chris, I was trying, there was a huge, huge,
huge aurora one time, and I'm hearing a faint, weak signal on aurora, on 2 meters working aurora, and I hear a KL-7. So I start swinging my beam, figuring, well, I probably should swing a little bit farther to the, to the west to try and catch an Alaska station. And I can't believe that I'm hearing this. But with an aurora, you never know what's going on. The bastard was up there in the UP, and so, he's got all kinds of signal into the, into the aurora. He's able to work it with not very much because he's right up there in it. And, that pissed me off. It's like if he said KL-7 portable 8, I wouldn't be looking for him to be where his call sign says that he should be.
Yeah, that's unnerving. You hear the prefix, you go, oh yeah, get all excited. And the guy said, oh yeah, I'm up here in the UP in Escanaba. Get out of here. No wonder you were so stoned.
Well, he wasn't very strong, and that's the whole thing. I don't know how much power he was running, but yeah, you get all torqued up and everything, and it's like, oh, a big disappointment. He's like in the same state you are, and I'm actually blasting my signal in the back of his antenna. So that was not a happy camper at that point. So I wish they would make people do that. That way it would encourage people to get call signs for the areas that they live in. W1IK, he's another one. He never identifies as portable 8, but, Bill always does, and I appreciate him doing that. I just got a phone call, Chris. I will catch up with you later. NHTV.
All right, John. Catch you later. WRX.
Somehow my radio switched over to Fusion. So, I don't know. Anyway, I had a big, long dissertation, but I got a phone call. I will catch up with you later, Chris.
No problem. WRX.
NHTV.
KKKGL, back on the road.
Yep. Are you here, Jim?
Nope, Tom. Tango Oscar Mike. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
You got too many radios going. NHTV, 73.
KS8FKV, listening.
W8RCY, testing the note. W8RCY, this is KF8DTZ. You're coming through 5x9. Note is working. Appreciate the response. We had a little hiccup with it this morning. It seems to have fixed itself. Thank you again. W8RCY, we're clear. Welcome anytime. KF8DTZ clear.
WD8KLO on a mobile.
KGL, so am I for a couple more minutes.
What's up, Mr. Tom? Going to the Charlie Club. I was pretty good. I got my Carolina Plus problem fixed at home. I'm a happy camper. Oh, look, that guy's got an electric snowblower.
Yeah, this one I got to replace a board on. I put a board in it last week, and that board was fried, so now I got another one to try, and hopefully, fingers crossed, this one works.
There you go. This is the new antenna. I'm using a TP-LTS radio from New Baltimore. How's it work? How about a radio check?
I'm going to say between a 3 and a 4.9. I mean, you're coming in, you know, you got a good strong signal, but your audio is kind of crappy.
How about if I try this one? W-A-C-D. Is the left not talking to the right?
That seems a little bit better. What did you do?
I went to the Richmond repeater.
Now you're a lot clearer. Yeah, I'll say 5.9 on that one. Strong, readable.
All right, let me try Warren. Give me a minute. Okay. How about on the granddad?
Yeah, no. You're a 3 on that one. Got a good strong signal, but your audio, like I said, is just, it's in the mud. Like I said, unless it's me, but I'm here at Plymouth and Farmington Road in Livonia.
Okay, last one. The beautiful Lon Clements. The world famous Lon.
Yeah, you're good there. I'll give you a 5.9 on that.
Okay, so Richmond or the ump. So be it.
At least we know it gets out there.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get some ambition and sweep it.
Yeah, because it is supposed to be fully tuned, so... At least when you sweep it, you should get 1.5 on GHF, UHF.
Yeah, well, it's tuned for UHF. UHF is a little high, but they said you could fix it. Hold on here. I'm going to order another cup of coffee. My $1.06 coffee.
Yeah, that's a senior rate.
No, it's for New Baltimore residents only on Monday.
Mine's $1.90 every day, 24 rounds, and then after my 8th one, I get one free.
That's close to the same deal.
Yeah, pretty much. I just type in my phone number, and they go, oh, you got one free? I'm like, really? And it's like a surprise.
I have to use the app, and then they scan my phone, and then they say, can we bring your phone inside? It's too bright outside. So, but they don't have a problem with their scanner. I told them they do, but they tell me not telling the truth. Oh, I'm going to go get the scanner argument with them.
KKJL.
Did I call it before?
All right, I'll be back in a minute. I gotta go check in. Hey, KKJL.
Get back to work. Talk to you later. WD.
WGHKL on the mobile.
This is KFA FQN listening. This is KFA FQN listening.
K8RUH.
What's shaking?
Me, it's so cold out here.
That's funny, I felt the same way when I got in out to my car today, this afternoon. I thought, man, is it cold? But yet, it was more than 10 degrees cold the other day, and I was out back and doing some things, and I don't remember, I don't know. But, just feels colder today than it did when it was 10 degrees colder to me.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a breeze this afternoon, so that is making things worse, I think. But yeah, it definitely feels cold. Maybe there's more moisture in the air or something like that.
It'd be like the desert states. You can say it's cold, but it's a dry cold.
Yep. Hey, this maybe you could answer this question. I'm thinking about getting a mag mount antenna to put so I can get this Motorola antenna outside of the car. Do you think I could just get a BMC connector and connect a generic mag mount antenna and just operate a VHF antenna and be all good? Or is there something special with these Motorolas I need to be very careful about?
No, they're all designed for 50-ohm, 50-ohm coax, 50-ohm impedance at the antenna. I would probably recommend something besides a BNC, rubber duck kind of an affair. Those antennas are always mediocre at best. They're serious compromises. You know, a UHF quarter wave is very stealthy. You can get a pretty small mag mount, you know, just something, size of maybe a silver dollar, maybe a little bigger than that. You know, it doesn't take a lot to hold that upright, and that'd work pretty damn good for you.
Yeah, the BNC connection would be more at the radio. I'd go SMA to BNC. And then I was even looking at, there's a, Motorola makes a antenna that's a all-band mobile antenna that I could get. I think it was like $40 or $50. And then just get a NMO mount, mag mount antenna thing to put on the car. So I was kind of thinking about going that route. I don't know. I feel like if I got it outside of the car, I would have exponentially better, it'd be so much better. I've experienced that with other radios. I don't know why this would be any different. I think my problem is I'm inside the vehicle and I'm not getting out very well.
Okay, yeah, no problem doing that. You can, get an SMA to BNC and, you know, use a BMC to connect to your coax. Sure, that works, and you know, probably the most convenient. I've seen guys use PL or N connectors, and then they have like a jumper, you know, that has a small like RG174 jumper that goes to, you know, so the part you'd actually lift up with the radio is on that small jumper.
But anyway, you get it converted over to regular coax, RG58 or whatever. Get that out to a mag mount. Yep, NMO is the way to go. As far as antennas go, I don't know that I'd buy anything Motorola offers because you're running mostly ham bands. I'd probably be looking at something in the amateur. I'm thinking about looking at, what is that 2x4 that everybody talks about? What kind of connectors does that have? I've been thinking about trying one of those or something. I'll be curious to what you pick because I'm thinking about trying something a little different in the NMO realm.
So I have a 2x4, but it is a, I think it's a UHF connector, not a NMO mount. But I believe they make it in there. And I really like it. That's what I'm talking on right now.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. I'll have to look around, look it up, because right now I run NMO 270s. I've got like three of those. Maybe even four. So if you want to try one of those, they're all the black Teflon coated ones. They've all started to flake away a little bit, so they're not the prettiest, but you can notice it. But if you wanted to give one of those a try,
I don't know if I'm getting in. I may have.
Where did that die?
All right, I thought it died, so let me know if you're hearing me.
Yeah, I was in the middle of telling you, you know, I've got NMO 270s. You could try one of those if you'd like. I've always liked those, but I'm ready to try something different, so I'll be curious, do a little research on it myself.
Yeah, I like the 2x4. The one that I have, I think I traded something to Dakota and got it, and he was super hot on them, and I think he still is. So it's a great mobile antenna.
Right. I hear a lot of people talk about them. That's why I was wanting to try one, but there's plenty of good antennas out there. So I have to do a little research on that. What else is out there? I like the, like I said, I like the Larson NMO 270s, but I am ready to try something different just for giggles. I've had good luck with diamonds in the past. I had one that had several loads in it, so God knows what it was. You know, if Professor Dom was out here, he'd say, "Oh yeah, that's a 7/8 over blah blah," you know, or something like that. I don't know. It was probably something like that. Gain, two bands, and I used to run that on one of those UHF mounts, like you say, on one of my cars, but I haven't done anything like that in a long time. Kind of an NMO fanboy. So I'm going to look that up. I'm going to figure this out, see if we can come up with a good antenna. We can both get them.
There you go. Yeah, it was the Motorola that I was looking at was... I want to say it was an all band. It was UHF, VHF, 7-800, and it was like $50. That's without the mount, but just the antenna. So I thought that was pretty fair. So I'm going to look around and see what else I can find and, you know, test it out with, I have some mag mount antennas or mag mount bases right now that are PNC for the antenna connection. So I might just give that a try just to see if it's a proof of theory and then see what I can figure out for something better after that.
Yep, I've tried a few different tri-band antennas, I guess we'll call them. And I've not had good luck with those. They work mediocre at best, but I don't know if I've tried the one you're talking about. The Motorola one I have has got a huge, like, looks like a beer can for the loading coil down at the bottom, and then it gets more conventional above that, but it's obnoxiously large. It would look really weird on a mag mount. I mean, unless the mag mount was the right size, but So I do have one that Motorola sold with these 8500s. Then I've got a couple that were, one or two that were put out by a company called Pulse Larsen, and those were tri-banders. I might have one of those you could try. It's an NMO tri-band, and I'm running that right now on this car, I think. I'll have to look. Or maybe I got that on my regular car. I don't know. But it's Pulse Larsen that makes it, and it's a tri-bander like you're describing.
All right, I'll have to look that up when I get out of the car. Yeah, and just looking for, like I said, just a good solution. I want to be able to get more use out of the VHF P25 because when I can get on it, it's fun. You know, I was actually Saturday afternoon, I think it was, I was talking to John on it for a while. And, you know, otherwise, I feel like if I don't come up with a good solution that'll get me into the repeater solid more often, it's going to fall out of rotation, and I'm going to stop carrying it because it's, you know, it's a big radio. It's kind of a bear to carry, and right now I'm also carrying a DMR radio because everybody's talking on DMR so much. So I just want to make it useful so it stays in the rotation.
Yep, understood. So, well, like I say, let me see what I got, see if I've got something you can at least try, if nothing else. But look up that Pulse Larsen. I got the guy to demo me one. You might be able to call the distributor with your at work and tell him, make up some story and see if he will demo you one.
It'd have to be quite the story. I think you could make a much better use case that they should demo you one than I could make that they should demo me one. But, you know, might as well try. KE8RUH.
Well, is there a potential for you to buy, you know, a few hundred of them? Because I think that's all they need. So we do offer that potential. But, we don't need the VHF and the UHF offer, you know, our rep. He kind of said, yeah, let me get you a couple. So I think he got me two. I'll see if we've got one laying around. Anywho, so, my side street has not been cleared in any way whatsoever. So a little snow, but no big deal. I actually kind of enjoy it.
Hey, CHKGL. Dave, plow your street, Sean, are you Baja-ing it through the snow?
Something dropped out about 10 minutes ago, so I don't know if that's when it was. Let me know if you're over on Central Michigan, and I'll try to tune over there.
Kid Joe. Hey, guy, I heard you guys on TJ's tower, and then all of a sudden you dropped off. I'm like, whoa. And I bumped over to Warren. That's why I was so static, and I heard you guys, and seems like it's back now.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, this morning they were not connected, which was interesting. I was on LTS and trying to find the guys this morning, and Sean popped over and was like, hey, man, we're over on Warren, and then that's how we figured out they weren't connected. So we must have figured something out this morning, and maybe there was a little glitch. I don't know.
Yeah, dropped out just as you and Sean were talking. Just, and he says, oh, look, it's plowed. I was figuring he was talking about his street was plowed.
Look at him. Got ya. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen too much more. I know they're working on getting the microwave stuff back up on Warren, so hopefully after the weather breaks they can get that going and it'll be back to the norm.
Yep, I know there was I saw the picture on Discord and ooh, doggy. So they're doing what they can, especially on the weather that we're having. You know, so And rather than do it safely and wait a while, then jump on it and do it when there's the weather.
Yep. Hey, I did have a question for you. I know you, you've headed up north a few times and you've been on, there's a DMR repeater in Petoskey that's a Central Michigan. Is that thing pretty strong? Can you get that, like, across the bay in Harbor Springs and all around town?
I wasn't through Harbor Springs, but in Petoskey, man, it was cranking. So I'm pretty confident that down in Harbor Springs it'll be just fine.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm headed up there this weekend and was just wondering. I only have an HT, and I know you're running a mobile, so that will make a big difference. But just would be interesting and very cool if I could have that connected all the way down here, because I don't think they have a connected UHF or VHF repeater up there, but there is the DMR.
I think they got something in Mackinac City for UHF for Central Michigan, you know, but I could be wrong. You have to know a little bit more than I would, but I think there is something up there.
Yeah, I think you're right, but Mackinac City is pretty far from Harbor Springs and Petoskey, and there's a lot of big rolling hills that would make it a difficult transmission to get into it, I think.
Yeah, I think I lost it a couple times in the hilly areas. Last time I was up there with DMR was right after last year's ice storm, I believe. And that was on mobile. But all I can do is try. I mean, that's all I usually do is just key it up. See if I get something. But I think I've been up there and I had a pretty good reception.
Yeah, I think depending on where the repeater is, I would imagine it'll get across the bay, and I'll be able to utilize it. It just makes sense that over the water it would, and you know, probably at a higher point in Petoskey, and it'll make its way across and work well. Who knows? I'll play with it this weekend if I get around to it.
Yeah, let me know how it goes on the HT world on that. Because I know I can hit it with the mobile. I mean, I hit Pecani and all of them all the way up. So I'm pretty sure the coverage is pretty decent up there. Except going through the rolling hills, yeah. You might have, I think I had a little bit of issue with the mobile.
Yeah, we'll see. I may throw a mag mount antenna on the roof with the HT in the car and see how it goes. Because I would imagine, you know, like Sean and I were talking earlier, that makes a huge difference when you got a handheld to be able to run the antenna outside of the car.
That's how I used to do it, was an HT with a BNC to a PL239. And I ran just a little mag mount outside the van before I got all my mobile.
Yep, that's, I did the same. And now I just have the one mobile, the analog mobile in the car, and then have the DMR and P25 handheld. So, gotta figure out a way to get those antennas outside of the car, and once I do, I think I'll be able to get into the P25 machines much easier.
Yeah, I think you'll get better range with it. Even though you're running 5 watts, I still think you'll be okay.
Yeah, and I'm flirting with the idea of switching out the radio in my car to a dual band DMR radio, but I haven't made my mind up or decided to make the investment.
I know, I got the TYT MD9600, or like my coworker's using it right now. And she does pretty good. I remember dialing her around when I was traveling, and she's getting pretty decent.
Yeah, I've been looking at that, the Anytone 578, and mostly because I have the Anytone HTs and pretty familiar with the programming and with the operation of it. Also, they have similar to like what your Motorola radio has, that it does that IP roaming. The Anytones do something similar, and it seems to work pretty well. So that's probably what I would end up with.
Is that the one that you get through Amazon, or you gotta get it strictly from Anytone?
I don't know if you can get it from Amazon, but you get it from Anytone resellers. Like there's that Bridgecom Systems, and there's actually some guys over in West Bloomfield that deal with a lot of Anytone stuff that I've talked to before. So I don't know. I'm not in a rush to do it, but at some point I may make the switch.
KFACLS comment. KFA ZLX or DLX? Go ahead, KKKGO.
Hey guys, just listening in. Wanted to throw my 2 cents in there. Let me turn this over to radio now. The radio out of the 40 has just about everything that the Anytone 578 has in it, including the roaming capabilities, and it is a true dual receiver radio, dual band EMR. I have one in my truck. It is an awesome radio. The GPS is pretty simple. And works very well. Be a big deal.
Cool, I'll have to check that one out. Tom, I got one more in me. I'm almost home. I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, I got $300 worth of upside cash to use on Amazon, so I got that burning a hole in my pocket. I was looking at getting another TYT, but if the Anytone is better or the Radiodity, I'm going to take a look at those.
Well, the Radiodity, I know the Anytone 578 is like $400. The Radiodity, I believe, is $269 or $289, so it's a little better on the price point. And like I said, I think it's almost exact as far as what it does. So, take a look at it. KFABLX.
I got all kinds of internet surfing to do tonight. I'll have to check that one out and maybe watch some YouTube videos about it. But I am about to pull into the driveway, and I will catch up with you gentlemen later. Have a good night, Tom. Safe driving around town. This is
KE8 RUH. Yeah, I got that. I'm on my way all myself, but just getting into St. Clair Shores. All right, Anthony, have a great night. Stay warm. I'll talk to you in the morning or something. 73KE8KGO.
Yeah, we may have almost passed each other if you're in the Shores right now. I was just at, 8 Mile and Mac. Catch up with you later. Safe travel.
KCHKJO.
Hey, Tom. Hopefully I'm coming through a little clearer than earlier. Just rolling up near Holly. Yeah, I'm not sure who you were talking to earlier when I was trying to chime in, but what I was trying to say is I did hear someone on Statewide 1 saying that if you broadcast or transmit with color code 3, it prevented doubling, and so they were saying to do that. I've seen people do it. I don't have it programmed in my radio, and I still hear people, so it must be like the same as color code 1, but maybe with another feature, but I'm not sure.
I jumped in earlier. All MI5 repeaters use color code 1. I'm not sure where you got that about color code 3. There is a setting in there in the radio to keep it from doubling. But all MI5 repeaters use color code 1. Give me an SWR.
Roger that, KB8SWR. I appreciate that. Like I said, I heard someone on there say that. I know I've seen them come through with color code 3, but yeah, mine are all set to color code 1 because my radio doesn't even have a different setting either way, but they were talking about it. Just thought I would mention that I'd heard it, and I appreciate the correction. KF8EFE.
The setting in most radios where... I don't have a software up in front of me, but color code 3, not 3, it's color code 3, F-R-E. Maybe that's where you got the mistake from. Over.
You are probably right. I bet you I heard it wrong, so I appreciate that. KF8, DFV, I'll be clear.
God, Romeo, echo. I got that on my Motorola. So when the color code is free, you can transmit. But if the color code, you know, somebody's on the frequency and they're transmitting, then when you try to bump in, you can't. It'll kick you out and say channel busy.
You don't have to clear out every, just trying to correct it before it turns into a big thing, because people hear that, start programming the radios, and then got all kinds of trouble, so you don't have to clear out, you can continue. I was just trying to stop that rumor before it went any farther, so it just dawned on me when you said that. It's, yeah, they were talking about color code 3, F-R-E. Carry on. Give it up to Barry. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Safe travels.
Yeah, I wasn't clearing out for that reason, and I do appreciate the correction. As I said, I wasn't sure it was right at all in the first place. Just heard him talking about it. I've got about 2 more minutes till I get to the house, and then I will be clear. But how's your day going, Tom?
Oh, just finishing up. Got about 30 minutes left before I call in and clear the run that we're out of. And then it's homeward bound. Actually, I'm homeward bound now. We just don't clear out until 4:30, you know, because we get paid for 4:30 kind of thing.
Sounds good. I'm just on the home stretch and going to go home and hopefully study a little more. I've been trying to study up for the general and extra. I'm going to take both, I think, on the 3rd at a local club up here in Grand Blanc.
I'm going to be up that way tomorrow. I got to go to a place in Flint. But I know Grand Blanc is like a hop, skip, and a jump down the freeway.
Yeah, I'll be in Flint, 75 Miller Road area tomorrow. I got to drop my daughter off. She goes to Powers High School in Flint. And then I'll be headed to Waterford. But just pulling in the driveway, I may be on a little later from home, messing around down in the basement. But... have a safe rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. I'll chat at you later. Eventually, I'll get out there by Waterford and come take a visit.
Sounds good. 73 KF8 DFD.
73 KKKJO. Monitoring as usual.
KFA KJO from KFA DPZ.
KFA KJO, got it, Cliff. Cliff, good afternoon.
And a good afternoon to you as well. I heard you guys talking about a Radiodity radio earlier. What model was that?
Oh, I don't even know now. They were talking about the Anytone 578 mobile, I think. And the other one's, the comparable one is the Radiodity. So, another mobile that I gotta get. That way I have another DMR in my personal vehicle.
All right, copy that. The only Radiodity I can think of that would be comparable would be the DB40D, and I'm playing with one of those.
Yeah, how do you like it?
It makes me want to violate the FCC rules verbally.
Well, I got a TYT MD9600, and my coworker's using that, and he's up ahead of me. That's one that we usually chat on. Because I got my XDR that I, you know, use for DMR. Of course, I got a bunch of DMR HDs now. But looking at getting a another UHF, VHF DMR for the Hyundai. That way I got something in the other vehicle when I'm driving around instead of trying to use an HD out the window.
Yeah, copy that. I'm just, you know, having issues with the programming it and trying to have everything keep working right, and it just does weird things that I have to go back and fix. Like, for some reason, it just doesn't like PLs 100 and 123, so if I edit the spreadsheet and then import it, it turns the PL tones off for those particular ones, but doesn't touch anything else.
Well, that's odd. But usually I don't use a spreadsheet. I just go in with the software and program what I want and download it to the radio. Be done with it. The Radiodity, is that chirp compatible or no? I don't think it is.
The DB40D is not. But one of the things that intrigued me about it, aside from the fact it was on sale, they normally ask $454, it was on sale for $300, so I grabbed one, was that, you know, dual band, plus DMR, plus actual working APRS that you can program. But the CPS from Radiodity is just, it's just weird. It's kind of hard to work with, but it is compatible with CP Editor. And that one is better, but it's still not as good as one could like.
I wonder if I should just go with the Connect system. I mean, that one's UHF, VHF, DMR. I think that one's 300 something from what I remember Tim saying. That might be a thought, too.
Oh, absolutely. I think maybe we dropped out for a second there again, so I just switched over to Sean's repeater and Warren to make sure that I'm getting out. Well, maybe I'm... Who knows? Let me continue mucking with it, because I have it mostly operational right now, and the part that I'm actually screwing with is trying to set up and test the APRS function on it. And hopefully, if I can get that part to work right and know how to do it, then it'll turn out to be a decent radio.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out when I get home. See what all entails. But if I just hand it down to DMR Mobile, you know, something for the other car.
Yeah, that's kind of my plan with it. I'm planning once I get it set up properly, it's going in my car, and I can get that ANI-CQ out of there. And then basically once I have that in the car, then if I'm driving in it and things like that, I can carry my DM32 with me, but I don't have to use it as my DMR radio. I'll have one on the dash.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, is get another DMR mobile for the Hyundai. Just
store I'm driving that, I got, you know, I got radio in there, and I'm not M32 everywhere, sticking it by the window, which I don't mind doing, but still, to have something solid in there, put that and put the GMRS radio in there, and I'll be all set there, too.
Yeah, well, we'll get there eventually on all of our projects, won't we?
Well, that's why over Christmas I picked the Yaesu. I wanted System Fusion as well. So I got that, got that and pulled out my Elenco. That's sitting upstairs, on the home antenna that I got in the attic. That's one that I used for a Thursday night scout. And the System Fusion, use that like I'm using it right now. I love the Yaesu. I'm really impressed by it. It's a really good radio.
KFA DBZ. Yeah, Yaesus are good. I haven't really played with one, but so many people are happy with them. I'm sitting there going, maybe one day I'll pick up one of those. What I'm talking to you on right now, is an Elenco. I'm using it as a base. It's the Elenco DR-MD500T, the model before the 520. So, dual band plus DMR, but it doesn't have APRS in or anything like that. Since I'm using it as a base, it doesn't need to cough up its location.
KCAKGL. Yeah, when I bought my Elenco, I got the DR-735T. And I'm like, I'll hold off on the digital chip. Maybe I'll get it later or something like that. I should have got it when I ordered the radio. Got the digital mod with it. Because now I can't find it anywhere.
Well, that is just awful.
Yeah, well, not only that, I got an open spot at home for DMR, so I go to the network with that one. And I got my All-Star node. That's all set up, too. And I got my backbone. So it's all about.
Did you just call your POC a backbone?
No, I have a Cisco phone at home that for hands over IP. Wally helped me program that, and then I got a voice account, so I got a telephone number attached to it as well.
Well, already then, that's more equipment that I don't have the money to buy right now. I guess that'll have to wait, so I keep sticking with the more mainstream stuff. When I go digital, basically I'm just sticking with DMR because it seems to be the most widespread.
Oh, I got enough toys already. I just keep adding on to them. I got the Yaesu, the Fusion. I got the Tate P25. I got the Motorola DMR. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 DMR ACs. And I just ordered another 5-8 antenna. Wally just got one. Sounds pretty good, so I ordered one of those. YC MD90-600 with an antenna on that. That was what the worker uses. Probably called truck. And what else I got? Got a couple of Lingo HPs that are just analog only. We're all sitting on the table charging one way or another. It's starting to be like Wally. He's got a ton of them sitting on a table too, connected to chargers.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to avoid being that guy and having just, tons and tons of radios. Basically, I want to have enough to do the things that I want to do and no more. Part of that's, paying attention to the budget. Part of that is the whole efficiency concept that we hams like to operate under, and so on.
One can never have too many radios.
Don't tell me that. My wallet can't handle it.
Yeah, I'm just getting it while I can. My wallet can, I can let a couple birdies fly there out of it once in a while. I also look for deals too, like the DM32. I mean, I got that at a deal. I got a DM1701 on a Black Friday special. You know, my Yaesu is my biggest investment so far.
And for a single item purchase, this Elenco I'm using right now is my single biggest investment. I grabbed it from Walcott Radio. Everybody has it priced at $380 for this exact model, but Walcott Radio had free shipping, so I'm like, okay, there's the deal.
Yeah, I got mine through DX Engineering. Love that place. That's where I got the AC from, the DX.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter where you get it from, as long as you get the toys you want, best price you can get.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, this one, you know, I was trying to find the FTM 300D, but they didn't have it. I couldn't find it, so I'm like, oh, the 310, that'll work. And it's a 310D, you know, DMR, ASP. It's got a GPS on it. It's got ATRS. It's got WireZX system fusion. So it has expandability.
That's the kind of stuff that I like. It has a whole bunch of capability already in it. So, as you know, like last purchase for, you know, Ultimate Base Station, where I only have one radio parked on the desk or something like that, that sounds like that would be the ticket.
Yeah, I put a little bit more into it. I mean, why didn't put any more into it? I mean, it was going for 549 or 499. I think it was 549. I got it for like just under five. Something like that. But I already got all the antennas. So it worked out. I might have the one I need. That's the one I got.
Sounds good to me. Speaking of antennas, I got an antenna project over here that I'm going to take care of once the weather breaks and gets a little warmer out. Picked up an Alpha Antenna UV6. And apparently it is supposed to be able to talk on 6 meter, 2 meter, 1.25 meter, and 70 centimeter. Yeah, so I'm going to stick that 8.5-foot monster up on the mast and when the weather breaks and see just how well it does.
Yeah, I got my VHF UHF Yagi. I'm not sure what model it is. But it's a dual bander, and it's up in my attic. You know, I got it mounted to a copper pipe, and then it's just strapped onto the support for the roof. Vertical polarization, of course, points south, and I can hit the Richmond MAC receiver. I can hit a double nickel, but which one I can't hit, though. I know I can hit GM, no problem.
Nice. Yeah, I grabbed one of those little Yagis myself. That's the other antenna project slated for later in the summer. I'm going to get that thing up outside on the roof and from Palco Electronics down Southgate. They've got a rotor that can handle it easily. You know, basically, you know, because this thing's smaller and lighter than a TV antenna. And basically, it's a TV antenna rotor. And they have that rotor for $83. So I'm looking at that. 5-foot tripod with maybe 15 feet of mast out of it, and stick that little Yagi up there and see what I can do with that stuff, being able to aim it in different places.
Okay, so I have an Arrow handheld VHF UHF with a deflector on it. That's just collapsed right now, so I don't want to use that for the ISS. I just haven't had a chance. I tried it a couple times. Just with things going on, I'm not going outside in this cold to get an ISR contact just yet. I'll wait till the summertime or something like that. So I've got that one. That one's upstairs. You know, disassembled and just sitting on a box.
Okay, KFA-DBZ. Yeah, that sounds good. When I go to try for the ISS, those old Yagis that we made at class, I'm going to try that and see if I can get in touch with them or at least hear them.
Okay, I need a duplexer because it's VHF uplink and UHF downlink. So you need a duplex Yagi for that. The airline has a thousand for about 700.
Alrighty then, I'll keep that in mind and abandon the idea of using that little Yagi that we made. I'll keep that around for fox hunting.
That's what my daughter's doing. Her boyfriend actually is doing measurements on it right now. He's going to make it another base. Make one out of a tape measure. He's measuring it all out and everything else like that. He's doing a custom. So he's pretty interested in it. But my daughter's ready to go. She's got the cable for it. She's got the radio for it. All she's got to do is lay some fox on it. Pretty excited about it. Doesn't have a ham light, just a spot, but I'll do that. Yeah,
well,
I'm
yep, that she can. I'm hoping maybe we can schedule one in the summertime, you know, when it's nice out. Anyways, Tom, I got to scoot because I got a couple things I got to do, and then I got to get out of here and go and try and make some more money. And with that, I want to bid you 73s and a safe drive, and I hope you have a good rest of your evening. It's KF8DBZ. 73 is to you. Clear and monitoring after your final.
Sounds good. Be careful driving out there tonight because some of the roads aren't totally cleared off. So be very, very careful. 73 for now. KT, KKO.
KF8DBZ. W8REG.
W8RIT, KKK, Jill, go ahead.
Hello, Tom. How are you today? And I heard there was another station in there. I didn't quite get the call sign there, the suffix. I think it was KFA, and I didn't get the suffix, BBZ or something. Yeah, I heard you there about the comments there about the roads there, Tom. Yes, I was coming just about noon down 275, had another job, and it looked like it was wet. There was spray coming off, you know, wet spray coming off the road from the tires. But, boy, there was a few spots there. Boy, it was slippery. Anyways, the other station, I think it was KFA BBZ, if I have it right. Go ahead. Over to you.
Yeah, that's Kilo Fox dot A, Delta Papa Zulu, ASAC2Z. That's, yeah, the GTF now, the general use of, extra money, so what is that? So it sounds like you fixed your mic, Dave, because you sound a lot better than doesn't sound like you're in a tunnel.
Yeah, KFA BBZ, I didn't really get too much of that. You're pretty rough. Tom, I'm actually using the bail thing here currently. I gotta get the ICOM stuck back in here. But I did clear out the microphone hole. I'm gonna have to see about giving it a test sometime. Probably I'd like to try it if possible with somebody on Simplex. Because I want to make sure there are two menu settings that I have to just renegotiate just to make sure I have them set correctly now that I have opened up the airway for the microphone.
Gotcha. What little sound thing are you talking about?
I'm sorry, what was that? I heard something about something I'm talking on.
Yeah, I'm going through some sketchy areas here, Dave. I said you're talking on a Baofeng? Is that an HD or a mobile?
The HD. I got the UV5R Jason picked up a couple too. We were just chatting a little bit too on the way out of our job.
No, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I got one of the older ones of those. I've had it for a few years.
Yeah, I gave Jason the copy of the file that I used for Chirp to program it. He just reused my file, so he's got the same channel set up here and all that. Hopefully I got all the current ones. I think so. Well, I don't know. Maybe they had a couple tomorrow, because out west, we're heading out towards Kalamazoo or something. Some job we're supposed to be doing some cameras on. Well, I think it's probably better than Columbus.
Yeah, Kalamazoo ain't that bad. Been out there on more than one occasion.
Yeah, that's about a 3-hour trip or something like that. But yeah, I was just saying I'd much rather tour through Michigan than Ohio. Just kind of a blah. Anywho, how was your weekend? Mine, I just did a whole lot of nothing here this past weekend. I hibernated and watched the snow.
That's basically what I did. Set up my ring doorbell. Set up my my hams over IP phone. And I still got to do a little bit more work on that. I still got to put more people in the sidecar. And got that all set up. And then basically just sat there and molded into the couch.
Run that by me. What were you doing with IP phones?
I was programming my IP phone for hams over IP. There's a bunch of us that have an IP phone, and we could talk to each other on it, or we could do a conference bridge. And then also, I got a VoIP number, so I think I got to get a new one reissued, because I can call out with it, but I can't call into it. So, for some reason, it's being blocked. So I got to get a new number reissued. So that's one of my other tasks this week.
W-A-R-A-T, tell me more about this, because I've never heard of this before. How does this work?
Well, there's a certain Cisco phone that you got to get, and then you got to program it. You got to get a hams over IP ID, which is kind of like a phone number in a way, a VoIP phone number. And then you set it up, and then I just hit a button, and I could go to the East Coast Reflector, and another button, go to our ARPS conference bridge, and another button, and get a hold of another ham operator that's in my address book. So there's probably about 30 of us that have them.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a look at this. They say ham is over IP, all right. I'm going to Google that when I get home. So how does it then work out for, like, push to talk then? If you check into I'm assuming it's like a All-Star node or something like that?
Just like this. I'm on my Cisco phone right now. Hit star 99 to talk and pound to hang up. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello, Sean. And that's how it's done, Dave. Sean was on his IP phone. And like you said, you dial into the number for the FBI repeater, and then you hit star 99, you do your talk, and then you hit pound to hang up, and you can still monitor.
Well, hi. Good afternoon, Sean. This is news to me. I'm kind of interested in that. What I was thinking I'd like to do, maybe just play around a little bit between myself and my neighbors, would be like use a couple Raspberry Pis with the operating system. I think it's called 3CX, and it's just basically setting up like your own IP phone network locally. Anyway, Sean, over to you.
Okay, I'll make this my last on the phone, switch back over to my microphone, but this one is on the phone, though. But, yeah, you can do all sorts of stuff with those. Somebody will have to set up, you know, an Astra server, presumably. I don't know what you're looking at there. And then you could provision it for your own. That's a little involved. But what they've done is the Hams over IP guys. And before that, it was HamShack Hotline. They kind of started it all. And then they broke into two different HamShack Hotline and Hams over IP. And HamShack Hotline was went defunct recently, and the Hams over IP guys have picked up all the slack. There was a couple of competing products, and you know, you could do that. You can sign up for you know, for other services like VoIP MS and get a phone number, and you can call around that way. So there's all sorts of cool things you can do with it. But this is very ham-specific. I don't know if there's any non-ham-specific stuff you can do with them, but I'm sure there must be. Anywho, I'm going to switch back over to my radio because I don't want to be hit star 99 and pound all the time. Not a big deal, but it comes in handy when you need it, but I don't need it right now. Over to you, Tom, W8FU.
There's your answer. All right, I got to jump off too. I got to get some gas and stuff and make a phone call. So I'll be back out in a bit. 73 for now, Dave. And nice hearing from you, Sean. I'll talk to you guys later. KCKGO.
All right, very good. Well, catch you in a minute here, Tom. You're back out. I've got too much farther to go. Sean, you still around or do you jump off?
Yeah, I just switched back over to my radio. I just was on the Cisco because I heard you guys talking about it. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have fun with it. Like I said, HamShack Hotline kind of started this all several years ago, and then they went belly up for one reason or another. And I think they were just trying to control it too tightly, and it got out of control. You know, it was just too much for them to manage if they wanted that level of control. The Hams over IP guys were great. They just, you know, they'd give you your credentials. They'd say, here's your username, here's your password, and you could provision your own device. And I think it's making it easier for them to maintain the large influx of people, and we'll probably give them longer, you know, a little bit better staying power. But anyhow, that's getting into the details of it. But it sounds like you know a little bit about this. That's why I'm going there. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're all playing with it now because we have plans to take it even further into the amateur realm. We tend to, you know, get free of the public internet requirement and network requirements. We tend to get this, you know, in a complete amateur world, you know, as time goes on, and it becomes another very viable form of hardened communications for us. So there's my pitch. W8FU.
And W8RIT. Yeah, one more thing I'm going to have to see about getting active and involved with something I've never heard of before. I've got quite a few other things I'd like to play around with. The other one is, there's, I don't know if you happen to know, what is the other newer digital voice mode? Is something like P12 or J38 or something like that? I can't remember. I'd like to try to look at that, play around with that for a second, and then see what that's like. But I got a lot of things like that. I'm kind of like, in the hobby, Sean, I'm pretty much flip-flopping. Like, I do something like for 3-4 months, you know, DXing or something, and not that I get tired of it, but I'm not never going to return to it. But I get tired of it, and I switch over to doing something else, maybe playing around on VHF, and then do something like shortwave broadcast listening, just reception area. So I always seem to kind of just shift my focus a little bit here as far as where I go. But that's a couple areas that I'm going to have to take a look at and then learn a little bit here. One nice thing about the hobby, there's some old things that still are current. Well, maybe not current, but position-wise and everything, but we still have some ways to get in here and new technology, so that's pretty interesting. So how do you go about then choosing what, like I guess reflector, is it sort of like a voice, you know, dial 1 for a A, and then you get a listing of A's, dial 2 for B, is it something like that that you can then go through?
Or is there a location online that you could look up and then find out, like, the different reflectors?
Yeah, so there's, if you go to the Hams Over IP website, they'll have pretty much all that information. They'll have, you know, they'll have a directory which will show all the people with their numbers on the network, and then they'll have conference bridges, and they'll have all sorts of links. And so, like, if you want to dial into the, if once you get the phone set up on Hams Over IP, it's like, for instance, you want to dial into this repeater system, you dial 15070. And it connects you right up. And if you want to, you know, go to the MECA, the 147200, you go, you know, 15088. And so, and it should have that directory in there. And a lot of information on setting up devices. And so that's the only thing I would say when you're buying a phone. You know, my recommendation is get a Cisco 525. Or if you don't want to go with that recommendation, which you should, then they've got a list of other ones that work. I'm sure there's even more, but if you stick with the ones that they talk about, you'll have the easiest time of it. And I think you can buy one, like new in the box, from a guy locally here. He's at 15 and Crooks, and I think you can get one from him for like $30. So, you know, it's hardly worth fighting about. Just go get one from him. It's like new in the box, and you got the best one out there, the Cisco 525. Arguably, you know, there are some really nice ones out there that are beyond that and newer, but I would just stick with the 525 and get your feet wet and all that good stuff. You had something else in there I wanted to comment on. Maybe I'll remember it next time around, or maybe you'll remind me. Tom, you back?
Absolutely. Warming up. Yeah, I know that feeling, boy. Especially last week, too, boy. I was sitting there and left my sweater in the work van here, and I ran out to get some things. The boy was windy and came back from just a quick trip out to the van, and man, my fingers were going numb already.
You know, Anthony and I were talking about that just a little bit ago. You know, I went out to my car in just a sweatshirt and started it this morning. Now, granted, it was just run out there, start it, run back in. But, you know, it didn't feel like knives or anything like that. And the couple of days ago when it was like 0 or 3 below, but today when I left work, I felt colder than I felt in the last week. It's something about it. Anthony thinks it's because there's a breeze now, and that's really amplifying things. But, man, it felt cold. It was like 19 degrees. That's almost balmy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's cold, but without the breeze, I mean, you can kind of handle it. But when that breeze comes around and it hits the back of your neck, that's it. You're done. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just a small amount of that can do it. And I can go to some spots where the sister puts around in the basement over the weekend. I know some spots that have some drafty chills going on here. And it wasn't much at all, but I tell you, standing there, I can feel like a little gust of wind blowing. I'm like, oh, boy, I'm going to see where this is coming from here. Plug it up here.
I got a drafty old house here, and I never bothered to, you know, much to my laziness, I never bothered to insulate it up like I should. I'm probably just gushing dollars into the atmosphere right now. But my basement's frigid. It's so cold. And it's like 50. And the upstairs is, you know, comfortable. And if I could just get that basement under control, I could probably cut my heating bill by significant amounts. But, ah, well. That's for more ambitious people, which I should be. All right, anyhow, I can't think of nothing more on that except for, like I said, it's there's a lot of information on it out there. Go to, just remember, Hams Over IP, and then just get out here and ask. There's so many of us that are playing with it right now that somebody will be able to jump in and you know, answer your question or give you a pointer. Plus the group over, the guys at Hams over IP are very accessible as well. So, all right, I didn't walk in all that long ago. I'm going to get back to what I was doing. I just wanted to jump in and show you Cisco phone in operation. And unless there's anything else, I'll be listening. W8FU, Tom.
Hey, DJ Joe. Yeah, Dave, you got to check it all out. Let's go to Hams over IP and the Cisco 525 where Shawnee can get it from. When he gets the lot in, then you just prepay for it, and then he'll let you know when it's in, kind of thing. And then there's instructions on the wiki page on how to program it. You know, set it all up. But if you need a PoE switch in order for it to run proper, you know, in order for it to work, you can't use a PoE inject. You have to use a PoE switch and hardlined into your network. And that's how mine is. That's how everybody's is. But it's interesting. I like it. And for a VoIP number, it's like $20 for the year or something like that. It's like dirt cheap.
Okay, let me ask you. I'm coming to make this my last time. I'm just down the street from the house. I'll be pulling in. Can you refresh me? What was the model number for the Cisco IP phone? 2250 or just a 250?
525, a Cisco 525. I'll send it to you. I'll text to you. I'll text you the model number when I get home.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm kind of enthused by that. I had not heard of this before, so probably going to do that when I get home here. Go Google it and learn a little bit more. Okay, so I'll talk with you later, Tom. You have a great day. 7-3 for now. W8RIT.
73. See you at work. Easy, kid Joe. W-R-O and W-R-O-K-C-K-G-O.
N-A-W-R-O, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, just checking on you. I haven't heard you for a couple days.
Yeah, I should have called out there. I heard you on there. I meant to, but yeah, doing a little desk work here for the group, and actually, I'm ordering my Cisco phone right now. I went ahead and put a sidecar in there, eh?
Oh, yeah, I got my sidecar. I only got three entries in it right now. I got to get some more in there, though.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was quite a number of entries. Was it 32, 36, something like that?
Oh, yeah, there's like 32 of them. I only got one sidecar. Mine doesn't have the stencil, though. It doesn't have the display. It has the cross on it. But I got to get it all set up. And I got the five other stencils all set up, too. I'm getting there.
N-A-W-R-O. Yeah, I knew you had yours and you're working on it. And then a couple days ago, Dave told me he had his set up. And, of course, Wally's got the big push on the Discord there, so I figure, well, let's get this done today. So yesterday I signed up for the HOIP account, got that, not a problem. And now ordering the hardware, so to speak, so I can join all the cool kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, because then we got the conference bridge in there, too, that we can use for meetings and stuff. And I know I missed today's meeting. Was there a meeting today, or was that canceled? I can't remember.
Yeah, I had an alarm set on my phone for those, and I guess I'm going to have to shut that off.
No, I believe all future Mondays are canceled. They're on an as-needed basis, apparently. If you need to talk to one of the bosses, then you schedule it. Apparently, for now, there's no standing meetings. I was going to get a hold of John and see if he wanted to do a IT meeting. You know, it's just him and I just bounce stuff off each other's on the website. So it's totally unofficial, unscheduled, and sometimes Dean drops in as well. But, of course, he's busy now. So, I just let John take the lead on that. Hey, I got your – I still have that one go kit. In fact, today is actually the first day that I cracked it open. So, we'll play with it a little bit, and then I'll make sure I get it back to Dave, and I'll let you know about it.
Yeah, no problem. Not a problem at all. I know where it's at, so we got to get the inventory stickers on it, and we can start working on getting that into the web page for inventory.
So actually, John was asking questions because he's looking at the Yaesu for his base. The serial number of this one ends in 552. I know it's just the radio, but do you want to use like maybe the last three or last two of the serial number of the radio as the number, or did you have whatever you want to do, Tom? Just let us know. But I was thinking maybe 52 could be the unit that I have.
Well, like a MAC address, everything is unique, so I would say if there's a last six, that would work. Because then the preceding numbers are all identical, but I think the last six are the most important.
Well, that'll work. There's a number and a letter previous, but then it's 050552. So I'm guessing, don't know, but maybe all the radios are sequential, and we could use that then, 050552 for mine. I gave you a snapshot of this same sticker, but I took a better one today of it. So, yeah, we'll work on it. I mean, it's not drastically important, but we do need something for, because I was going to go inside the website and sign it out to me, you know.
Yeah, I think the last six will be a little bit more beneficial, because who knows, the other one could be a 2 or something like that. So if we have the last six, that would be, a better option.
Yeah, copy that. That's fine. Who knows, maybe they are not sequential, and you never know what you might have. So next time I talk to John, I'll mention that, see where we go from there.
Okay, that's the way with the HT one around. Do the same thing, the last six of this serial number. And that way we have them all, and we can use that more or less as a barcode or the whole kit. You know, yeah, you scan the whole kit number one, scan the barcode, and then it comes up with the serial number of the radio.
Yeah, I saw those new IDs he made. And the IDs have that, a QR code on it. That was pretty cool. They're vertical, too, not horizontal. So I imagine we're all going to get those eventually.
Yeah, the QR code is the new barcode.
All righty. Where are you at, Tom? Are you getting close to here, or are you way out?
What is that? I think QR code is better than the barcode.
Yeah, sorry, I partially stepped on you. But, yeah, I agree. That's the new version, like you said, and he's got multiple plans for that, some of which is a pretty good idea. If we report to a site, it can be scanned, and it could access our record in the system, you know, see what kind of training we had immediately, right on their tablet. I mean, that's fine. You know, that'd be great. Curious, where are you at? You getting close to QTH, or are you still out and about?
Oh, no, I'm home now. I just walked in the door a few minutes ago. I don't know if you want to try Simplex Richmond to Memphis and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, heck, sure thing. I always forget now. You're radioactive at QTH. I'm always thinking you're out and about whenever you're RF. Yeah, what do you want to do, VHF or UHF? You want to do the backup VHF or what?
Yeah, let's do the VHF first. I'm just walking upstairs. I've got to get past the dogs.
Okay, no rush, but when you're ready, I've got 146.58 on the A side.
WRO, KCAK, Joe. Okay, let's give it a shot. I'm going to switch over to 46580 Simplex.
Copy. USY, NAWRO.
KCKJO.
KAPR. Anyone out there knowledgeable about any tone, DMR, roaming?
What about the roaming?
I'm sorry, it's a little noisy. Who is that? No copy. KPR.
WACIJ.
Oh. Hello. How's it going? I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
Yeah, how you doing, Phil? Hope everything's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're actually getting my machine. Amazing. You must be on an outside antenna.
Roger, at my base, over.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm just a little perplexed about something with the DMR roaming setup. I can't quite grasp get my head around it. Looking for somebody who's an expert at it.
Yeah, I'm not an expert at the roaming. I don't do that. I'm not sure. Can you really set it up for roaming? I think that was intended for something other than DMR, but where would you use it?
You use it for, like, if you're on a network, like the MI5 network. And they have machines all over the place on different frequencies with all the same talk groups and stuff. And the idea is that if it loses the signal on the one you're closest to, it will search. You set up a list of channels with all the channels, the frequencies, and it will search through those to find the one that's got a strong enough signal, and it will switch over to that one. So you don't have to keep manually switching channels as you travel. It will just automatically lock in on the one it can hit.
Yeah, okay, I understand. I remember that, but I was wondering if the Motorola is capable of doing that. I don't remember seeing that setting in the Motorola that I have here. But, yeah, I understand that. Go ahead.
Well, the Motorola, from what I understand, does it the right way. It does it by monitoring the RSSI, or the signal strength, and picking the best one. The Anytone just basically searches until it gets a signal. It may not be the best one, from what I understand.
Yeah, okay, understood. I operate the DMR here at the house. I don't have anything in the car, so I don't need to roam here, but I understand the principle. And then I have an HT that probably the Tyteric will probably scan or something, or yeah, it'll scan and go to the, you know, scan it, probably go to the nearest frequency that's off, but I don't know of any roaming capability in that. But anyway, I hope you're doing okay. You survived the holidays. You stay healthy, over.
Yeah, we were in California for most of it. Spent almost a month there over the Christmas, New Year's holiday, and but it was cold and rainy there most of the time. It was not what I expected.
Yeah, December is the rainy season, actually, if I recall. I remember years ago going to California and spend Christmas over there. But I didn't see any rain there at that time, but it's not uncommon. But, yeah, I think they had a lot more rain. Do you have family there, or were you just sightseeing?
Yeah, my son and his family live out there, so we go out there, we house sit for them while they go off on their, they go off on a ski trip every year. This has become a regular yearly thing we do. So they go off skiing, and then we house sit and have use of the car and just until they get back. So we have basically a couple weeks with them and a couple weeks without them, which works out perfectly.
What part of California? Was it Southern California or Northern?
As they call it, SoCal, LA area. And I took my HD with me this time, my Annie phone, and tried to listen, tried to talk to people there. It's a very weird scenario out there. First of all, the repeaters are upside down. A lot of them are closed. You have to be a member. And the ones that are open, it's like the Wild West out there. FCC rules, what are those?
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Well, I don't know. I don't know, maybe things will change, and we have to start somewhere. Unless somebody steps in, probably things will change. But yeah, that's not a good thing. But I got a brother that lives in Manhattan Beach, California, near pretty close to the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have that radio on and listen to those three years of kids on the car because the language is so bad.
Yeah, well, I think they need to be busted, don't you think?
Yeah, apparently the FCC doesn't care.
I don't know. I wonder if anyone's ever filed anything. I mean, I'm not surprised considering the stuff that you're seeing, what's going on in the West and other parts of the country. I am not surprised. No respect anymore.
Yeah, and half the repeaters are Spanish speaking, so you can't even talk on those.
Yeah, you said closed systems. Boy, I haven't heard that in a long time. There used to be a couple of around here years ago, but they probably had more people in their own little group that could use the repeater. And the rest of the world was, the door was closed, over.
Yeah, they have this big system out there, it's called PAPA. It covers the whole state, it's massive. And you can't use any of their stuff, remember.
Did you operate DMR out there?
I tried, but nobody comes back to you. We don't recognize you, we're not going to talk to you.
That's kind of like what it is here, isn't it? I mean, that's what I experience. That's not the hobby, you know. One of the things people got to remember is if somebody gets on the air, they might be having a problem. And probably some people say, well, they got cell phones, let them call 911 or whatever. But, you know, I don't know. You don't know what the circumstance is. And it's just, I think, courteous to go back to somebody. And that's what the hobby is. You don't want to discourage people, but there's probably a lot of people who do get discouraged and they say, this is not for me.
Hey, I just switched over to Warren. I'm heading too far away from my house. So, yeah, that's, I mean, when I hear somebody new, if I'm able to, I'd jump on it and talk to them. Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. And I think most people on here will do that.
WACIJ, yeah, it depends on the time of the day. People are busy working, whatever. You know, there's just not a lot of operators out here anymore. There's a group of us that we're retired. I'm not sitting around collecting dust, but I'll get on the radio and hunt around, throw my call out, telling people I'm calling. And once in a while, I'll bring somebody up, but not too often. And you think there would be more people on, especially during the winter. You know, summer, warmer months, I mean, people are outside. I don't blame them. I'd be outside as well, but...
Yeah, I wonder, do you get on the Novi, was it 444.8 at all? I reprogrammed my radio recently and put in some frequencies I didn't have in before, and that was one of them. I'm hearing quite a bit of activity on there. Jumped in there, chimed in there once in a while.
Yeah, I can get on there occasionally. Once in a while, I'll talk to George. And then the 443-100, is that it? 443-100. I get on that. There's somebody monitoring periodically. I think they're doing some kind of call. Yes, I've been on the Novi grid. Something must be interfering. 73 WAPN.
What's got you over here, Phil?
Yeah. Everything sound good there?
No, I said, what's got you over here? And hello, Greg.
Oh, what's got me? I'm just going bowling, so I'm now too far south from my house to get in through there.
Is that you, Sean? WAPI.
Yes, it is. How you been? Haven't heard you in a while.
Doing good. Thanks for asking. I thought I'd come over here because there's normally a lot of action compared to other places, but I got to step out of here, so motor safely, WAPIJ.
All righty. Good hearing you. Talk to you later. And, Phil, you got to go out bowling, so it's got you in the neighborhood. Okay, I was just curious. I'm looking to get some vittles for the wife and I, so thought maybe you'd have a good suggestion.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what's in your area too much, but I know in your area is the breakfast place. Anyways, I was just putting out a call trying to see I'm working on that DMR programming on the Anytone. I'm just going to get my head around how the roaming works with it, how you set up with a channel or zone. Got me befuddled. I can't seem to find anything online to explain it better.
guy to ask, because I don't, I just stole your code plug, and I never looked at it again, except for I fine-tuned it for a couple of things that I like, and that's it. So, haven't ever played with it, and I don't know about it in the native Motorola environment. I don't monkey with it, so, and I'm sure they're different, so. I don't know if you find somebody that's well-versed in Moto Turbo roaming that they even are going to have any information that will work for you on the Anytone.
Yeah, okay, very good. By the way, if you do end up getting an 890 at all, I've discovered something major. I loaded in my, I exported all my stuff from the 898, including the 890, all the channels and stuff, and I tried to connect to my hotspot on the DMR, it wouldn't connect. I said, what's going on here? It's weird. You know, and then I exported all the channels out again, looked at the spreadsheet, and over on the far right, or over in, there's another column, it says TXCC, and they have a separate color code for transmit now. So I had to copy all the receive stuff over to the transmit column, load it back in, and voila. It dropped out there.
That wasn't me. Somebody's just keying. I didn't respond to your last one. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about it. I haven't really explored, especially any of the DMR stuff on my Anytone, so I imagine the programming is pretty much the same between the new one and the old one, but I haven't looked at the old one to any great degree.
Yeah, it just threw me. Why would you ever need a separate transmit and receive color code? I mean, they probably said about why they late program 7 transmit CPLs, but I've never heard of a system, a DMR system that uses split. So, I don't know, somebody must have said we need that. And look what it is.
Don't know. Don't know. All right, let me jump out. I just wanted to jump in there real quick and see what you were doing down this way and say hi to Greg and all that good stuff. I am going to go try to figure out, I don't want to get too late. Seems like more and more lately I sit around dragging our feet and then we don't get to dinner until 8 o'clock and that's just not good for me. So I'm going to get with that. Drive safe. You're getting a little crackly, but still making you out 100%. All right, after yours, W8FU.
From where I am right now, I never used to get in at all. I don't know. But it's a high, big power, so I don't. All right, get you later. Enjoy your dinner, whatever it is. Peace.
Yes, he does. Yeah, I was trying to answer you earlier, but apparently Rochester is out of range.
Okay. Yeah. So, did you hear what I was saying about the 890 with the color code?
Oh, I heard you talking. You mean with the transmit color code?
Yeah, they have separate transmissions. I have to find that out. And, why is my hotspot not here?
Yeah, that's why I keep, you know, that's one of the useful things of having a scanner. And being able to, you know, for troubleshooting stuff like that.
off. You heard the other part is that I'm trying to figure out the rope and stuff. But I'm where I'm going right now, so I don't know if you can play around with it at all. If so, I want to be hearing later.
Yeah, I answered you on Discord. Yeah, if you still have hams over IP, just dial my number. I've got ground there on my phone. My 578, I got it working with roaming. I don't know if it's worth it or not, but I can probably give you my 578 code plug, and you can try it out and decide for yourself.
Yeah, that would be helpful. So, I think it's the whole relationship between having a channel and having a role in that channel. I don't know, anyway. But I'm here, I gotta go. So, talk later. Take care.
All right, talk to you later. KFA does.
WDAKOL.
This is KFA SQN listening. Alright, this is KFA SQN. I didn't do my daily contacts, but I want to say have a good night, everybody, and 73.